In today's edition of Awaken to Grace, we are exploring James chapter 5, verses 13 to 17. And I hope that your faith will grow immensely as we study each phrase of this great chapter of James. We're going to talk about how do you grow, how do you expand your capacity to pray, and to not just pray prayers, but to pray effective prayers. And we're going to learn how to grow in that in today's study.
If you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to James chapter 5. I'm so thankful for the time of prayer the Lord gave us today. Just so thankful. You know, the things that the Lord is doing, you can't manufacture those things. You can't sit back here in the conference room and go, well, at this time we're going to do this or that or this. I mean, it's God moving in our midst, and I'm just thankful for that. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for a worship team that's more about the presence of God than they are about the performance. Can we just thank the Lord for that today? They're not worried about, they do things with excellence, but nothing matters when the presence of God falls, does it? Nothing else matters, and I'm thankful that they're sensitive to that. As most of you know, I'm unable to read the text because of my vision issues, but I'm going to try to take you through James chapter 5 for a few moments, and I'm going to try to unfold these verses for you that have literally transformed my life. I pray that if you don't have these verses memorized, that you will commit them to memory. And I pray that they will have great effect in you as they have me. Now, we began a series. If you are joining us new this morning, let me just catch us up for a couple of moments. We began a series at the beginning of the year called Expanding Our Capacity. Now, when I have a concern that when we talk about our capacity, that people are going to immediately think church growth. They're going to immediately think, you know, filling more chairs or, you know, making more room, which we're going, I think, have to do soon. But that's not what we're talking about in way of expanding your capacity. As a matter of fact, what we're saying all year this year is growing people and not our church. We are not interested at all in how many chairs we fill. We are interested in making disciples. We are interested in filling the city with the gospel. We are interested in reaching far beyond these walls, far beyond our city, far beyond our region with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our focus. And so when we sat down and began to pray and say, what does expanding our personal spiritual capacity, what does it look like? And we believe the Lord gave us four primary ways to expand our capacity. So we began with week one, explaining the Good Samaritan. And in that sermon, we talked about expanding our capacity to love others. And let me tell you, God's going to give us an opportunity, multiple opportunities to do that this year in 2019. And what that looks like for us is loving people who they don't look like us, they don't talk like us, they don't think like us, and they certainly don't act like us, but none of that matters. We're going to love them with the love of God. And so we talked about what does it look in a real way, in a practical way. And so we studied the Good Samaritan. We saw actually it was the religious people that were indifferent. It was the religious people that just passed him by. And we talked about in that first sermon, what does it practically mean to love people the way that God loves them and the way that God loves us. We spoke in week two. We said if we're going to expand our capacity, not only do we have to love people the way God loves them, but we have to grow in Christ the way we should be growing in Christ. So we talked about what does growth look like in a spiritual life. We went to Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. We called that sermon Rooted in Christ. What does it mean to really grow in your faith, to really grow as God wants you to grow? And then last week, I preached a very difficult sermon, a very rare sermon for me on tithing, and I shook off my fear, and I preached it, didn't I? If you were here. If you weren't here, go back and listen to it. Thank you. Because it was called Robbing God. Will a man rob God? Malachi asked. Will a man rob God? God says, you have robbed me through tithes and offerings. And I shook off my fear of being seen as money hungry or a church about money. And I did, I think, what God would have me to do as a faithful pastor. And I spoke about giving. We talked about expanding our capacity to not just give and not do the bare minimum that God asks of us, but to go beyond that and to live generous lives and to be known as a people who are generous. Well, today concludes our series. And if we've talked about expanding our capacity to love, if we've talked about our expanding our capacity to grow, and if we talked about expanding our capacity to give, the last and final one of this series is expanding our capacity to pray. And that's where I want to invite you to James chapter 5. We're going to entitle today, Fervent, the capacity to pray, fervent. As most of you know, I'm unable to read the text, so I'll try to go from memory. Forgive me if I miss a few words, but I'll try to walk us through this. James chapter 5, verse number 13, the Bible says, if there's any among you, I got cheerful in my head, who are suffering, there we go, it took me a second. If there's any among you who are suffering, what's the remedy? He says, let him pray. Is there any cheerful? Let them sing praise. If any among you are sick, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if any has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be, what does your Bible say? Healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah, verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed fervently, there's our title. He prayed fervently that it would not rain upon that it would not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain upon the earth. I want to talk to you for a few moments today about not just prayer, but about effective prayer. Not just prayer as usual, prayer that you're not sure if God's going to move or if he's going to work, or for that matter, if he even heard you. But I'm talking about prayer that is effective, prayer that is effectual, prayer that is righteous, prayer that is fervent. And that's the kind of prayer that moves the hand of God. I'm not interested in praying prayers on my terms. I'm interested in praying prayers that move the hand of God. I'm interested in praying prayers that are empowered by faith and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I don't want cold and mechanical and routine praying going on in my life. I want fervent praying, the kind that moves heaven. And the Bible says those prayers can be ours. The Bible teaches that these prayers are not for a select few. These prayers are not only for those spiritual elite people. The Bible says that Elijah, that great Old Testament prophet, having a nature just like ours. Elijah, who battled depression. Elijah, who at times doubted God. Elijah, who was quite emotional. Elijah, who even doubted and thought that he was the only servant of God, whereas God had many. Elijah, who had many, many problems and many mistakes, and yet he had power to call fire down from heaven when he prayed. James would have us know that this type of praying can be ours. And I want to show you how today. So if you're someone that you would love for your prayer life to grow, and I think you would, I don't think at the end of the day, I don't think you're here because the band is great. At the end of the day, I don't think that you're here because the coffee tastes really good. At the end of the day, you're certainly not here because of me. I think at the end of the day, you're here because you want to please God and because you want to be a prayerful person. Well, how do we grow in that? How do we expand our capacity? How do we grow in our ability to not just pray, but to pray effectively, to pray fervently? Well, let's begin with verse 13. James writes, "Is there any among you suffering?" Now, if you're like me, in my mind, when I think suffering, I immediately go to illness. I immediately go to some type of sickness or disease. But that's not what the Greek word means. The original word in the original text written in Greek, it actually means to have any kind of calamity of life. Many of you filled the altars today with many, many different needs, many different situations, all kinds of difficult circumstances. And you know what the Bible would say to those of us who are in a time, those of us who are in a season of suffering? The Bible makes it very clear, pray. That is the remedy. That is the answer. That is the solution. But what do you do when those prayers don't feel effective? What do you do when it's been a long season and yet you go, God, I have prayed and yet I don't see any results? We're going to answer that with the Bible today. But let's understand, first of all, that there are various seasons of life. There are various times. There are seasons that we walk through. And I think this is what James is saying. If you're in a season of suffering, the answer is pray. If you're in a joyful season, if you're in a good place right now, if you're cheerful, then what's the Bible say to you? Sing praise. I think what James had in his mind when he's writing this was Ecclesiastes verse 7, 13 and 14. In Ecclesiastes 7, it says, the same God who creates the day of prosperity, the same God who creates your best days, the times, the seasons of your life, where everything is smooth and everything is great and you're constantly winning, well, guess what? The same God creates the day of adversity. I love that because it tells me that God is not fickle. It tells me that God is not all over the map. It tells me that God didn't lose his power in one certain season of my life. No, it tells me that just as God ordains my good seasons, he ordains my hard seasons. And he's the same God in between and through it all. So that means I can trust him in the times I'm singing, and I can trust him in the times I'm brokenhearted and I'm praying. Either way, I trust God. You understand? So whatever season you find yourself in, look to the Word of God. How many of you know seasons change? It's a bit chilly in here this morning, isn't it? It's cold outside. It's supposed to be very cold this week, right? The last that I looked, Tuesday night, supposed to be 9 degrees. The last I looked, that may have changed. You know how it is here. It changes every 10 minutes. But is this season going to last forever? No, March is coming. Spring is coming. Things will bud. They'll bloom. They'll come to life. But will that season last? No. Seasons change. And friend, I want to tell you, the season that you're in today is not going to last forever. It's not going to. God controls those seasons. Look to him. Look to him. Now, he says, if any among you are suffering, which means trouble of any kind, if any among you are in trouble, if you're suffering, the answer is pray. Those of you who are cheerful will then sing praise. Ecclesiastes 7, 13, 14. Consider the work of God. The same God who makes the day of prosperity is the same God who creates the day of adversity. It's the same God, the same hand. And you can have the same level of trust for both. Then he said, if any among you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him call for the elders of the church. What's he saying here? Well, not only is that a biblical model, not only is it a biblical pattern, I think it's something we follow, and we do that faithfully. We call for the elders of the church. We take oil. which symbolizes the Holy Spirit. There's nothing magical about this. The Bible doesn't tell us what name brand of oil to use. You understand? It doesn't have more power on it if it's Crisco. It's not more anointed if it's essential oils, right? My wife thinks so. She thinks essential oils can do anything. But it doesn't matter what kind of oil we're talking. It's a symbol. It's symbolic of the power of the Holy Spirit, because oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit in the Bible. But notice this. Not only is it a model for us to follow as far as church government, but I think this is what it's saying. Don't do life alone. Call for your pastors. Don't sit in isolation. Don't let Satan overwhelm you. Don't do life alone. Don't sit there and struggle and be overwhelmed and be isolated from those who love you and those who will care for you and those who will shepherd you. I think that's really what he's saying here, is call for the elders of the church. Don't do this alone. Don't go through it alone. And then he says that that will take oil, symbolizing the Holy Spirit, will pray in the name of the Lord. And then what does the next verse say? And prayer will heal the sick. Is that what it says word for word? I'm asking. I can't see anything. Is that what it says? Absolutely not. What does it say? The prayer of faith will heal the sick. Here's what I want you to see today. God does not honor prayer. God doesn't honor just praying. He honors the prayer of faith. Many people pray, but they don't pray with any faith. Many people trust God to go, well, okay, well, maybe God could, but they don't have any faith. The Bible teaches, this is such a critical issue, the Bible teaches without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. So I have to watch this. I have to guard this. Let me just share with you personally where I am right now in my vision issues. There have been so many men of God pray over me. I mean, great men of God, men that if I am here with the Lord, they are here with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And so many times they've laid hands on me, they've prayed, and, you know, I've opened and no change, no change. What do I do with that? What do you do when it feels like it's not working? Well, let's understand something, okay? I want you to understand this. My responsibility is not to figure out how many different formulas of prayer I can pray that will crack the code to where God will give me what I need. I don't have to talk God into anything. My job in prayer is not to beg God to the point where he'll feel sorry for me. Some people fast, and they fast in a wrong way because they think God's going to look at them and go, oh, well, okay. Some people treat God the way my 2-year-old treats God. Do you know what happens to Hudson if you take something away from him? You should do it. If you see him in the lobby with something today, just take it away and watch what he does. It's hilarious. I don't know what it is. He does this, I don't know what it is. He does this thing with his hands, and he like throws his hands down like this, and then he starts stomping. I don't know what it is. I'm like, did Sadie do that as a baby? Is that where he gets that from? It's ridiculous. It's crazy. You know what it is? It's a temper tantrum. There's a lot of people not serving Jesus right now because they're throwing a temper tantrum on him. God took something out of their life. God did something that they didn't like. God did something that they didn't approve of, or it wasn't comfortable. And we forget he is the potter, and we are the clay. So many people have prayed for me. They've prayed the prayer of faith. I have prayed what I feel the prayer of faith. But notice what the Bible says. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. What's it say? As it is working. Have you given God room to work in your life? See, there are some personal things about me And I'm not going to go into the detail today, because you don't need to know. But there are some personal things with me that God has very clearly told me, I'm working on you. I'm working on you. God could open my eyes now, right now. He could do it in a second. And as great men of God have laid hands on me and prayed over me, I'm not growing discouraged because God hasn't healed me yet or because God hasn't done this great miracle yet. I know. See, God's showing me every single day. He's showing me, you want me to change your circumstance. Chad, I'm trying to change you. The prayer of faith is working. Look what it's doing inside of you. And when faith has done her full and complete work, that's when God will open. See, I have to come to this place where I go, God, you're the clay. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Because you haven't moved at the moment I prayed, because you haven't done at the moment that it would be the most convenient for me or the most comfortable for me, it does not mean God is not working. Amen. Several very well-meaning people, I tell you, people have been so gracious to me. It's really shown me what an incredible community of people that I have around me. They've been so gracious, and some people being very gracious told me through the holidays, they said, Chad, we're praying every day that God would give you your sight for Christmas. Oh, I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate it. But let me tell you, that wasn't the will of God at that moment. It wasn't. Do you know why? It's because what I'm finding, as I've been very transparent and open with you, there are times of frustrations, times of discouragement. There are those times. But by and large, nearly every single day, to the glory of God, praise God, every single day, there may be a moment in the day, there may be an hour or two in the day, but literally every single day, God is making this precious to me because of what he's doing inside me. Does that make sense? Now, here's the problem, okay? Here's the problem. Like Psalm 103, Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. In other words, Israel saw what God was doing, but Moses understood why God was doing it. Now, Here is the problem. While I'm waiting on God to work, while I'm waiting on him to not only do physically what I'm praying God would do physically, but while he's doing inwardly what he needs to do inwardly, if I'm not careful, I can nullify what God truly wants to do. If I'm not really praying in faith. If I'm over here saying, well, you know, God's working in me and, you know, I can feel his work and I feel like God wants to, you know, I know that God wants to. But then if I'm not careful, Monday morning, I can get with Bob and just be like, I tell you, Bob, I just don't know. I just don't think it's going to happen. And if I do that, am I praying in faith? Am I standing in faith? Now, understand, I'm not saying be fake and I'm not saying be pretend. There may be times that Bob may call me because God put me on his heart, and Bob may call and say, Chad, how are you doing this morning? And I may have to be honest and say, Bob, I'm having a really bad day. I'm really struggling today. Yesterday, I was so full of faith. Man, I preached with faith, and I stood up, and God filled me with faith. But man, this morning, life is hitting me hard, and I don't feel full of faith. And I tell you, I'm struggling. Will you pray for me? There's nothing wrong with being honest. There's nothing wrong with being vulnerable. There's nothing wrong with being sincere, but I can still be that way in faith.
Do you use a streaming device at home or at work? Simply say, hey Google, play Awaken to Grace with Chad Roberts podcast and listen to our weekly podcast that is the current sermon that I preach each week at Preaching Christ Church.